Hey, everybody, this is your girl, Carla Renata, a.k.a. The Curvy Film Critic, and I have a guest with me today. I'm at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah, and I ran into my girl, Carlise Burke.
Can you believe it?
I know, right? And we saw some movies, so we're going to talk about the movies we saw, and then she's just going to hang out with me while I talk about what I saw here, and, you know, we'll get some opinions about that and keep it moving.
And all be right? Nosy. I'm being nosy. And
she is being nosy, but it's all good. And if this is your first time joining me, you can find me right here at Black Hollywood Live. Click below to the subscribe button so that you can get alerts of when I'm going live or when I'm bringing you a tape situation like today. I'll be able to tweet live with you once the chat goes up because I'll be in a movie. But, you know, we'll deal with that situation later.
She's amazing. She's in movies, but when she said, I'm going to be in a movie.
I ain't in no movie. I'm on TV.
And TV, but she's going to go to a movie.
I'm going to go to a
movie. She's been going to screenings. She's probably seen every movie, probably.
I've seen a good portion of them. But so what I want to talk about first is Carlise and I both saw this film called Bad Hair.
Yes.
And it's written and directed by Justin Simien, who is the creator of Dear White People. Now, you guys know the film Dear White People.
Mm-hmm.
You know the TV series that he has on called Dear White People.
Yes.
And, you know, I just
here we go.
Okay, so let me get my notes because I got some things to say.
Oh, good.
I got some things to say about
because I just freshly came from seeing it, so I haven't gotten my notes together yet, and I'm still trying to get it together in my head. So
I have some things to say about Bad Hair. So first of all, it's a psychological thriller dealing with how the culture, our culture, the African-American culture,
mm-hmm.
deals with hair.
Yes.
And trust and believe, it's a psychological thriller.
Yes, it is.
Let me just say that again. A psychological thriller.
Let's say it together. A psychological thriller.
So what's going to happen is anybody that has a weave, got some locks, got some braids, you wearing a wig, it's going to give you nightmares because it gave me nightmares.
Yes.
Like straight up, straight up.
Yes.
So it stars it stars Ella Rain, Vanessa Williams, Blair Underwood, Michelle Hurd,
Kelly Rowland,
Laverne Cox, Lena Waithe. It's,
yes.
It's just a plethora of people.
Yes.
And it takes place in the 80s, so it's a little bit of a throwback, too,
mm-hmm.
you know, to that MTV VJ kind of situation.
Yes, yes.
But, honey, the first thing I want to say about it is that it really deals with those societal norms of what we think about our hair.
Yes.
And it and how we have a tendency to judge and accept someone based on what kind of hairstyle they have.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yeah, exactly. That's how it starts out. Yes.
And
definitely.
Then what happens is once this girl gets a weave,
yes.
her whole personality changes because mm-hmm. you know, when she had her natural hair. Oh, and let me just say, in the beginning of the film, she has a situation where her hair is burned. You know how, if you are a black girl, at some point in your life, you have had your hair burned.
You have had a perm.
And you have had the creamy crack burn the hell out of your
yes.
head, possibly leaving a scar or some scabs
yes.
or worse. But having that situation where she's had natural hair and had her hair, attempted to have her hair permed once,
mm-hmm.
she had that scar in the back of her head, and she was always trying to, like, you know, pull on it and do mm-hmm. stuff with it. But then she gets that weave,
mm.
and homegirl, lack of a better way to say it, it was almost like she saw her life.
Right, right. But the weave was about as painful as that burn from the perm.
Yeah, like there's a scene in the movie where they do a close, like an extreme close up on her scalp.
When
they're taking the needle into
yes.
the hair and you see the blood. Child, it's a lot of things.
It's a lot.
It was the premiere film here at Sundance.
Yes.
One of the films that premiered the first night. It's gotten lots of controversy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Hillary Clinton. It's one that you either hate it or you love it.
And there's a lot to unpack in this film.
It's a lot to unpack.
One that you might want to see more than once,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot going on. And I just want to say I met Justin after
the screening.
Lovely young man. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Yeah.
Amazing work. Interesting. I applaud him for his courage and his thoughts. And he even said at the beginning of the screening, I got a lot of things. Let me get it right. He goes, oh, forget it. I forgot the quote. So let's just forget. If I remember it, I'll say it again. Well, he's like, I do think about a lot of things. Or I've got a lot on my mind. I think that was it. There it is.
But I do want to say that he did say during the Q&A after the film that the one of the characters is named after his mother. I believe his mother's name is Carol.
I believe it's what her name.
So one of the characters is named after that. And I find it very interesting. Somebody actually brought this up to me. I find it very interesting that this is a film about women and a issue that plagues women, written by a man. But this is also a man who has grown up with his mother.
Yes.
So he's seen his mother, his grandmother, his cousins,
yes,
his sisters, whoever is a female in his family, go through this and decided to just make a psychological thriller about it, which was absolutely fascinating. And I'm not going to lie, when I first saw it, I was like, I had to take it and process it.
Yeah,
for a minute.
I actually physically, my body reacted during the film.
I had to process it because
yeah,
I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. Was this really bad? I'm not sure how I'm feeling about this right now.
Well,
so I took some time and walked away. Yeah, I took some time, walked away from it.
Yeah,
and was like, and wrote what I wrote, and he retweeted it after he read the review.
Oh, okay.
So
I have to look at that. I have to go find that.
My bad, hair review.
Yes, I I'm glad.
Hair
I didn't...
toss. Check my nails.
Yeah,
baby, how you doing?
How you doing? I'm glad I didn't read it ahead of time. I don't like to read things before I go see it because I want to form my own opinion because I'm very easily influenced, FYI. And so I didn't want to be, especially by this diva right here. So I was just like, no, I just want to see it on my own. I was going to go to the premiere, couldn't get in. That's a whole nother story. But I did go this afternoon. And we have to also introduce the African or the black folklore. That
yes
is another layer.
That's a whole
nother
layer.
Whole nother layer of this film.
Yeah, I mean, it talks about, I can't remember the character's name, but her father had a book that talked about the whole, like you said.
Well, it was her uncle.
Was it Blair
her
uncle? That's right.
Uncle.
Uncle was her uncle.
Mm-hmm.
He had this whole book that had all the history of black people,
mm-hmm,
including their hair and all of this stuff,
yes,
in it. And he loved to pass it down from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. But yeah.
And she didn't want anything to do with it at first,
mm-hmm,
until
she
got that weave. Right,
she
exactly
got that weave, and then it was off and popping.
Yeah, she was like, she asked her cousin, now where's that book? You still have that book? And at one point, she gave it back to her cousin, but she called back on the phone and said, okay, read me that next story over the phone. And her cousin was like, really? I'm sleeping. She goes, read me the story.
It was a lot going on.
It
but
was a lot.
You guys, I don't have any distribution information about Bad Hair yet because they're shopping it around.
Yeah.
But when I do have a release date on Justin Simeon's Bad Hair, I will let you know about it. So Carlise is going to hang out here with me.
I am.
While
I'm just going to be nosy.
While I go through the rest, while I go through the rest of these films.
I'm going to drink my coffee. No endorsements. I'm going to turn the cup around.
Starbucks.
Wait. Oh, wait.
Turn around.
Where's my label? There we go.
Okay, Starbucks. You need to endorse your girl. Okay, so anyway.
I agree.
You need to endorse your girl because I'm drinking a chai tea latte at Sundance. Learn it. Okay, anyway. So let me talk about this film that came out earlier in the week called The Gentleman. So when I saw this film, it's like an action whodunit kind of comedy kind of thing, and it's a mostly male cast. But baby, when I first saw this, I was like, what the hell is this?
Mm.
I said, oh Lord, Matthew McConaughey then did another movie where I'm looking at him with my eyes crossed. But like with Bad Hair, I took some time to process, and I realized it was actually a very good film. It's very funny. There's lots of laugh out loud moments. And it's kind of like a Sherlock Holmes-ish type of comedy. We have stars in it like Matthew McConaughey, but Michelle Dockery from Downton Abbey's in it. Michael Caine's in it. Hugh Grant is playing like this smarmy kind of tabloid journalist who's trying to, like, you know, blackmail people. He didn't blackmail the wrong people and ended up with his own demise. It's very funny. But it's in theaters right now. I believe it's produced by STX Films. If I'm wrong in that, I'm sure y'all will let me know. And it's written, produced, and directed by Guy Ritchie. So it looks like Guy Ritchie has another hit on his hands.
Nice.
All right, and now back to Sundance. So
I love it.
The next film that I saw at Sundance was this film called Zola.
Mm.
And this is the thing.
I'm so mad I missed it. Drama. But go ahead.
Look,
now I want to know.
So
Zola
is written by Janissa Bravo. I met her at a panel where she was talking about being an influencer and how difficult it was for her as a woman of color with original content, how hard that was for her to be able to get sponsored or to be able to have her stuff produced. Well, Janissa, you ain't got to worry about that now, girl, because you got Zola. And when Gina Davis. I knew it was right. Okay, so Gina Davis. Gina Davis was heading up that panel, and Gina Davis has a film festival called the Bentonville Film Festival, which is oftentimes geared toward female filmmakers. So having said that, Janissa has this film here in Sundance called Zola. Okay, so I had...
She's like, ooh.
So I had to do a jump cut because my mama called me.
Mamas.
You know, my mama. But anyway, so Janisa has this film that's based on 144 tweets from 2015 by Azia King. And it's about this crazy ass night that she had. She worked as a waitress and a stripper, this girl did. And she met this young lady named Stephanie in a restaurant where she worked. And they exchanged numbers. And the very next day, Stephanie invited her to go on a road trip to Florida where they can make some more money at this club that has better clientele.
Oh, okay.
When I tell you shenanigans ensue, shenanigans ensue. That was the craziest, zaniest, wackiest film I'd ever seen in my life. Like, listen, this is what the first line of the film is. The very first line of the film is, you want to hear a story about why me and this bitch here fell out? It's kind of long, but full of suspense. That's all you need to know about Zola. That shit is hilarious. It makes Hustlers look like a Disney movie.
Whoa.
It makes Hustlers look like a Disney movie. And it's kind of like a cross between like Hustle and Flow and Hustlers.
Oh my God.
But the two ladies that are starring in it, Riley Keough and Taylor Page, are killing it.
Wow.
And Coleman Domingo is in it. And Nicholas, Coleman Domingo's in it and Nicholas Braun is in it, and they are crushing it. And I'm pretty sure that Zola is going to get a distribution deal.
Good. Because I'll get to see it.
It was the only thing here at Sundance that went viral after it premiered. So
wow.
There's that. All right. And then the next thing I saw, I talked about Zola, I talked about Bad Hair. The next thing I saw was this film called Never Rarely Sometimes Always. So when you go to have a abortion procedure, when you're in the room and they are asking you about your sexual history, they ask you to answer with one of these words: never, rarely, sometimes, always.
Okay.
Hence the title of the film.
Got it.
This film is directed by Eliza Hittman. And before I go on to talk about Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always, I made it my mission this particular time to either do films that were written by people of color, written, produced, and starring women. Because I was kind of, but I'm still kind of salty about the 11 filmmakers that had films last year that were female who completely got ignored, with the exception of Greta Gerwig. I'm feeling some kind of way about that. So the only power that I have to do something about that is to put their work on the spotlight, because I am a female film critic of color. So there
yes.
you have that.
Go ahead, girl. Go ahead.
But this film stars Sydney Flanagan and Talia Ryder, and this teen ends up getting pregnant, and they work in her and her cousin work in a grocery store where they're being abused by the grocery store owner, who I believe is the person that probably got her pregnant.
Right.
And so she lives in the state of Pennsylvania where you cannot get a legal abortion. Her and her cousin get on a bus and they go to New York.
Wait, is that true now?
This is in the movie. This is the premise.
I know,
of the
but,
film.
But
yes, that's true now.
I did not even know
yeah,
that.
So okay. For those of you who don't know, like my girlfriend Carly's here, there was a law that was passed in 2019, which simultaneously was a domino effect in a lot of states, making getting an abortion illegal.
Wow.
Completely reversing Roe versus Wade.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
I heard about it, but didn't know Pennsylvania was one of those.
Yeah, Pennsylvania is one of those states.
Okay.
So she goes to New York to get it done. They get on a bus, they go to Port Authority, and again, shenanigans ensue, but not in a good way.
Right.
What was supposed to be a one-day trip turns into a four-day trip.
Ooh.
And Eliza has a tendency to, well, not a tendency, Eliza's filmmaking style is one where she shoots an extreme close-up with very little dialogue. So with this particular subject matter in this film, it's enough to make you uncomfortable.
Mm.
You're uncomfortable watching it. You're uncomfortable for these girls. It is.
And I'm sure it's intended to be.
It's very intense, and she does that intentional. This is an excellent film. But I know right now, because of the subject matter, people are going to poo-poo it. They're going to have something to say. They're either going to not want to deal with it based on what their stance is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're pro-life. I don't care if you're pro-choice. This is a film that everybody has to see, regardless of what it is.
Wow.
Regardless of where your stance is, you have to see Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always by Eliza Hittman. The next one I saw was This Morning, and I was so excited to see it because it was written and directed by Julie Taymor. Now, a little bit of history about
Lion King.
Yes.
Yes.
I was directed by Julie Taymor in The Lion King. I did The Lion King in L.A.
So fucking
for 3 years, as y'all know, because I talk about it all the time.
I was
Shinzy, and I talk about it all the time. But I cannot be at Sundance and Julie Taymor have a film here about Gloria Steinem and not go. Like,
duh.
Who does that? I had to do it. So I go and I watch the film, and it's taking us on a bus trip through 4 different phases of Gloria Steinem's life, as a teeny tiny girl, uh-huh. as like a preteen, as a young woman, and as a fully formed adult.
Wow.
And it was fucking awesome. It was so awesome. It was so awesome. It was everything I thought it was going to be and more. Mm-hmm. It's very if you're a woman that has a feminist bone in your body, it's very emotional. I cried several times.
Wow.
I cheered several times. It's just Julianne Moore is starring in it, and Academy Award winners Julianne Moore and Alicia Vikander are the stars of the adult version, and there's 2 young women that play the younger versions. But they have, Alicia and Julianne have Gloria Steinem's voice and her mannerisms down to a science, and you know you're in for a ride when the opening shot is this bus pulling into this town, and Julianne Moore as Gloria Steinem, dressed in all black from head to toe, gets off this bus, and you see her in like that belt buckle, those black jeans, that black shirt, and she's just standing there, and the Gloria comes across the stage. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So I don't know. I'm sure they're looking for a distribution deal too, but it's called The Glorias. It's written and directed by Julie Taymor. It is an ode to feminism. Mm-hmm. It is inspiring. The Glorias is glorious. I mean, I know that sounds really cheesy, but yeah,
No, it's a buzz. I've been hearing about it all over town.
It really
there
does.
Is a buzz. But can I just ask you one
question? Yes, of course.
Because you mentioned that they are looking for distribution. Now, the movie you mentioned before that, do they already have distribution? Always, never?
Never, rarely, sometimes, always.
Most
of the films that play at Sundance mm-hmm. do not have distribution.
But this year, I heard.
This year, quite a few of them do, because Netflix has a lot of content here.
Yes, okay.
Netflix and A24 have a lot of content
here. That's
what I
heard. Okay.
So those two entities do have their films that they're showcasing here. But most of the time, in the past when I've been here, most of the films do not have distribution.
Right.
And they're looking to get their films into a theater.
So that one did not, though.
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
But I'm sure we'll. Like, I can't imagine that it won't.
Right. Okay.
But there was a Q&A afterwards, and one of the things that really struck me, so wonderful to my core, was when Julie Taymor came out to introduce the film, and she said, "Yeah, this is a film about feminism, but feminism is humanism." And I think that's the best way to end what I have to say about The Glorias. It was a wonderful film. So I love documentaries. You guys know I talk about documentaries here all the time. I saw a documentary about Hillary Clinton.
You saw it?
I did.
Did you see Miss Hillary?
I did see Miss Hillary, Miss Hillary Rodham Clinton. It's a 4-part documentary series that's going to air on Hulu on March 6th.
Wait a minute, so you saw all 4 parts at the...
Well, they showed all 4 parts. I had to skip out after the second part, so I didn't see the third and fourth part. But I saw the first and second part. But I saw enough, and it's pretty much... if you, and I talked to somebody later that had seen the third and fourth part.
Okay.
If you have been watching her on the news over the period of time that she has become a political powerhouse, and you mm-hmm. pretty much know everything that you need to know,
mm-hmm.
what I didn't know about Hillary Clinton was and I'm not surprised by it, but the sexism that people treated her with. Like when she was in Alabama, they were telling her that she needed to not take her maiden name. And put it in the middle. Nobody does that. You take your husband's name. Bill Clinton put her in charge of a program, and they were like, "Yeah, you need to not do that." Like they were constantly telling her what to do, and mm-hmm. she is a rebel. She is not one to let anybody tell her what to do at any given time, anywhere.
Yeah.
So I learned that about her, and I learned that, you know, everybody had their assumptions about the Clintons when the whole Monica Lewinsky thing
mm-hmm.
broke. But at the end of the day, they're still married, and they're married because at the end of the day, they loved each other.
That's right. That's
it's a love story.
They're a team.
Mm-hmm. I learned.
And it's got to be a strong team to stand up against all,
Ooh.
Just like, you know, Michelle and Barack and any other powerhouse couple, political, but the president.
They've been through they've been through a lot. So
they come for
they
you,
went
right?
through Whitewater. They went through him being impeached. They went mm-hmm. through the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Yes.
They went through her running for president.
Yes.
They went through him being president twice.
Mm-hmm.
They went through her being Secretary of State. So it encompasses all of those aspects of her life. But they talk about her as a young Hillary Clinton
yes.
before she met Bill Clinton,
mm-hmm.
what her life was like then. They talk about her relationship to her mother and her father.
Okay.
Her parents are primarily responsible for the strong, resilient core that she has.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed it. It was wonderful to see her. It was wonderful. Hashtag I'm still with her. I'm just saying.
Hashtag
right, I'm still with her. So
yes,
Hulu,
yes.
March 6th, the Hillary documentary. The next documentary I saw was called Siempre Luis.
Always Luis.
It is directed by John James, and it is about Lin-Manuel Miranda's dad, Luis Miranda. Now, we all know Lin-Manuel Miranda from Hamilton
yes.
and from In the Heights and
yes.
from winning Tonys for those Broadway musicals. But what we didn't know, and I surely didn't know, is that his father is a political powerhouse.
Ah,
his father worked for Ed Koch. His father helped Ed Koch diversify his campaign by bringing Latinos into the campaign. He was very politically active, and actually, he's responsible for Lin going to the White House to do Hamilton
right.
at the White House Michelle Obama. And I remember seeing an interview where.
Do you know you just said President Michelle Obama?
I did. I'm speaking that into existence.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Speak it. But
I'm
I don't really
that
want to. That's a whole nother.
President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama.
I just wanted to say that.
But.
Because I feel you. Okay.
All right. But so what happened was it was a wonderful story, and it was a wonderful story about a man who is very entrenched in the New York political scene. He helped many women get elected in the state of New York, and he's from Puerto Rico. He loves Puerto Rico. When Hurricane Maria hit and devastated it, he was devastated because it was like taking his home and taking it out from underneath his feet. He loved every single thing about it. They talk about how he... is family first.
I'm getting intrigued.
I know. They're talking about how he's family first. So at the end of the day, Luis Miranda is family first. And when you see him on screen, you know, when you see Lin-Manuel Miranda, you see him with all this energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he must get tired sometime.
Right.
Between him and his dad, he's the tame one.
Whoa.
Right.
How old is his dad?
His dad, I think his dad is in his 80s. I think he might be 84.
That makes sense.
But he
Amazing. Is
phenomenal. I want him to be my dad. No shade to my daddy, but I was like, wow. It was wonderful. They were there. They spoke afterwards, and it was really great.
That's what I love about Sundance. The things that you find out from the films, and then the people that you meet that are connected to the films, it's just amazing.
It's wonderful.
Amazing.
And one of the things I love about documentary film is that it's a learning experience.
Yes.
I always learn something that I didn't know before about life, about the people that are navigating in the life around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I don't always want to see a narrative film. Sometimes I want to learn about somebody else and what their life on this planet is like.
Yes.
So Siempre Luis.
All right, girl.
I'm not sure if they have distribution, but again, I will let you know. Another documentary that I saw is called Be Water. It is produced and directed by Bao Nguyen, N-G-U-Y-E-N, Nguyen. And it is dealing with the life and legacy of Bruce Lee and how he transcended racism and really kind of introduced the premise of transcontinental box office here in America.
Mm. Oh.
Because up until he did that with his films, they weren't doing that with any films featuring someone of color.
Wow.
So that's
Amazing.
A great film. Loved that. Opening night as well, I saw a film called Crip Camp.
I've heard about that one.
Camp.
Yes, yes.
It is directed by Nicole
Newman. I
can't
talk about it, but I know what it's about.
Yeah. Nicole Newman.
Uh-huh.
And Jim Labrecht. Jim Labrecht is a sound designer at the Berkeley Rep. And he, when he was a little kid, he went to a camp that was specifically for crippled, disabled,
mm-hmm.
special needs kids in New York. And he, when I tell you, again, it was another emotional ride. I always look at people different. That other people deem as different in a different light because I'm different. I'm a woman and I'm black.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm already different from the
mm-hmm.
time I hit the earth, right? So whenever I see someone who is disabled or deaf or blind or whatever the case may be, I don't have sympathy for them. Mm-hmm. I don't have empathy for them. I'm actually applauding the fact that they are navigating through this life like anybody else. Right. And that is mostly due to the trajectory that their parents have set up for them.
Yes.
But Jim Nguyen, he has spina bifida, and he kind of drags himself up by his bootstraps, but he doesn't know any other way. He swims, he's married, he has children, and he just does what he does because he's a human being at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a very inspirational film. I enjoyed every single moment of it, and it's called Crip Camp. C-R-I-P Camp.
Right.
There's a short that I watched by Olivia Wilde called Wake Up. And it stars Margaret Qualley, who was in Booksmart with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also in a film called Seaberg. She had a really nice role in Seaberg.
Okay.
But Wake Up is a short that Olivia Wilde teamed up with HP to make that deals with this woman who wakes up in a hospital only to discover that the world has become so distracted by smartphones and laptops and computers.
Oh.
And thus the title, Wake Up. It's 10 minutes long, but it's 10 minutes of your life that you need to set aside to
watch.
That
sounds like something we need to see.
It was really good. So in addition to those films, I like to attend panels when I can.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the panels I attended was called a Voices and Vision panel that was sponsored by Warner Media.
Uh-huh.
Gina Yashere and Karen Kendrick from Just Mercy were in that.
Uh-huh.
And they talked about, you know, how you get stuff made and how, you know, we need more grips. We need more people behind the scenes. We need more camera
people.
You mean
of color?
Of color.
Yes,
we need more grips, more women.
Yes.
More women of color that are grips.
That is
sound
true.
Designers,
yes.
Camera people, writers, producers.
All the departments.
Yes. Not everybody needs to be on camera.
That's
not
right.
Everybody needs to be in front of a camera acting. That is not what the industry is.
Yes.
The truth and the reality of the situation is if we did not have the grips and the camera and the sound and the editors, you wouldn't even see us. So there's
so
that.
True.
So true. So there's that. But it was a wonderful panel. I went to a panel at the Macro House where Kerry Washington talked about her new
film. I heard about that one.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Dealing with the ACLU. That was a great panel. And then I participated in a panel for Naleep.
I wish I had known.
Yeah,
I would have been there.
It was Naleep. And it was a panel on inclusion and diversity. And on that panel with me was Nicole Denson Randolph, who works for AMC.
Okay.
She's the vice president of content strategy and inclusion programming.
Uh-huh.
Mandalite DeBarco, who...
Wait, was that at the Black House?
No, this was at Skull Candy.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
That's
all right. Mandalite DeBarco from NPR. Emma Ramos, who's a Mexican actress and one of the stars of New Amsterdam.
Okay.
The four of us were on this panel
and
we talked about it. So that's all that I've seen thus far. I have another screening to go to in a little bit, so I'll tell y'all all about that in a minute. But I want to tell you some highlights. So one of the highlights, as I said, was Zola going viral. The other highlight was Miss Americana, the Taylor Swift documentary.
Yes,
Taylor
she
Swift
was here.
I didn't get a chance to see that, but she bounced out the next day because this might be airing while the Grammys are going on. So you'll catch it after the Grammys, I'm sure.
That's all right. Business.
We're in a hotel. What are we going to do?
We're at the headquarters.
We're at the Sundance headquarters, which used to be the Marriott, but now it's called the Sheraton. So, we're in the lobby doing this. And so next week, I'm going to finish up my reviews from Sundance. I'm going to see The Assistant. I'm seeing Lost Girls, and I have a review and an interview with that director and writer, Liz Garbus, that was one of my bucket list things, was to interview her, because I love her work. If you are not familiar with her name, she directed and wrote a documentary called What Happened, Miss Simone.
Okay.
And it was very popular a few years ago. And it was a bucket list thing for me because I saw that film the first year I came to Sundance.
Okay.
And this is my seventh year here.
I know.
And then
she told me that.
And I got to interview her.
That's amazing.
So it was like a full circle moment for me. But I want to thank my girl, Carly East.
I want to thank you for inviting me to be a part of this. I mean, I knew you were doing this. I know you're the curvy critic. I'm amazed at this setup that I'm looking at now. I mean, sister girl.
Oh, thank you.
Sister girl, this has been a delight.
Where can we find you on social media?
CarlyEastBurke.com.
Twitter?
Carlise Burke everywhere, CarlEase, last name Burke, BURKE, follow me. I'm really loving IG. I'm loving Instagram. I do my little story so you can see what I've been doing since I've been here. This is my first Sundance. And Facebook, I check in there, and a little bit on Twitter.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you guys know you can find me at The Curvy Critic across all social media platforms. You can also find me right after this normally doing the General Hospital after show at AfterBuzz TV. You can also find me on Thursday nights on NBC Superstore playing Janet.
Yeah.
This is it for Sundance 2020.
2020.
And I will see y'all next week with some reviews on The Assistant, Lost Girls, and some other things that I might find along the way. So,
I can't wait.
So like I said at the beginning, click the subscribe button below. Give me a big old thumbs up to let me know you were here. Let me know what you think about it. And I will continue to inform you about where to find the films once they get distribution, okay?
So, yes.
Love, peace, and hair grease, y'all.
I'm following her.
Bye.